and some of them will do a tolerated shield, because you're going to have a lot of babies in the hospital. So some of them will do the face shield, and not the mask, but that's okay.
Well, I graduated, so I don't have to go back. All right, Chris is going to lead us in a song, and Dad's going to preach to us. All right?
Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to sing "To God Be the Glory." We're going to sing the first and the last.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all
Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll continue to take a look at this section of Scripture. We stopped with verse number 9. Now in verses 10, 11, and 12, he continues with the church at Corinth, and he begins to give them explicit instructions as to how they're to consider the commitment they made and follow through with it. So I want to give you some thoughts from these verses. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence indwelling us, how you give us understanding, and then how you give us wisdom to apply it. I pray today that we might be very aware of your presence, that we might be sensitive to your direction. And we're going to ask that you just open the Scriptures to us in a special way in these few moments. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, let's take a look at verses 10, 11, and 12. He says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." That word forward has a thought of willingness. And he's talking about their willingness to make the commitment they made a year ago. He says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Now let me give you three thoughts from these verses as he gives them instruction. First of all, I want you to see how he says, first, there needs to be a willing mind. A willing mind. And he's just talking about our attitude. What is your attitude about this whole thing? What do you think about it? And that's a battle we face, having a right mindset about it, being willing to agree with God and letting Him give us direction and not let other things interfere. The things that are going on around us, the unknown that's ahead of us, and if we don't watch, that's what controls our thinking. But he's saying here, you need to have a right attitude. And notice what he says in verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, are you willing to listen to God? Are you willing to listen to His instruction? Are you willing to agree with Him? Boy, our minds have a lot to do with what we do, right? What we think controls our action. Now, let me give you two thoughts when we think about a willing mind. First of all, there has to be a ready mind, for there, if there be first a willing mind, just a readiness to listen, a readiness to get what God has for us, a beginning, and that just an agreement with what God says. Because He gives us a plan for how He wants us to be involved in missions. Are we ready to listen? You go back to Matthew 28, you have the commission given there, the command given there to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and how we're to do that. And in that same portion of Scripture, Jesus talks about, as He speaks to the disciples, He talks about Him having the authority to speak. And He has a right to tell us what to do. He has a right. He is the authority in the whole thing, in our lives. So in Matthew 28, we have the command. Then you go to Acts chapter 13, you have the example of the church. We're to be in a church where we're able to serve God through that church and reaching the world. The command is given to His church, the local church, to go into all the world. And we have that example in the church at Antioch. You remember that church? There in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas were called to go out of that church at Antioch and to start churches. And so that's the example that's given to us. We have the command, we have the example. And then you go to Philippians chapter 4, where Paul, the church planter, the person who was used to actually plant that church at Philippi, talks about how that church partnered with him. And so we have the instructions of how we're to partner with missionaries. Now, how are we to do that? We're to do that by giving and supporting them financially. That's what it says in Philippians chapter 4, very clear. We partner with missionaries by supporting them financially. Now the question, are we in agreement with God? We have to have a mind to agree with God. So there's a beginning to this thing. There's a readiness, then there has to be a readiness to will. Look at verse 11. It says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, an agreement, a readiness to will. Amazing thing to me, and over the years, in going down to the islands and working with those believers throughout the islands, you get in those churches where there's first generation believers, people just gotten saved and baptized and become part of the church. And you go into those places and where people have been born and reared right in that one little island, many of them small islands, and never been off of that piece of ground in the middle of the sea there. And yet a missionary comes in, they get saved, and he starts preaching to them the responsibility to reach the world. Now think about them in that small place, a small island, and all of a sudden they're being told, you reach the world. You give to reach the world. And then I would go down there and preach missions conferences, just like you have here, and those people would respond, and they would commit themselves to give to missions, to give to support missionaries. And they didn't have missionaries come in like we have in the States. Missionaries couldn't fly down there for a conference and go through all that expense and everything. They couldn't afford to have them, but they got a hold of the thing. They saw what God wanted them to do, and their minds were pictured, and they saw exactly how God wanted to use them to do that. I remember years ago going to Grand Cayman, and there are three islands in that Cayman group, Grand Cayman, they call it, Little Cayman, and then Cayman Brac. And the big island, Grand Cayman, has some independent Baptist churches. We had a missionary there, and could I ask you to give me a little more volume if you could? They had a missions a missionary there, and the missionary's wife got ill, and he had to leave. They had to come home, and so we had a missionary retiring from another country, and he went down and took that church and filled in for the missionary, and he asked me to come down and preach a missions conference at Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Cayman. And they supported eight missionaries, had about $8,000 coming in every month, and so they had a missionary program, and the missionary taught them, and they had some vision of missions, and so I went down and preached the conference, and boy, it just was a revival situation. And when we finished the conference, they committed over $52,000 a year to missions for the coming year. And it was just amazing how they responded. And after it was over, the missionary there was talking to me, and he began to share with me some of the things that took place. And he said, did you see that one lady? She sat in the back every service, tall lady with two teenage children, one boy, one girl. And of course, I could see everybody. It wasn't that big a crowd. And he said, let me tell you about her. Said, years ago, when those teenagers were just real small, her husband just walked out and left her. And she didn't know what to do. She had never worked a job. And so she just started getting little jobs to just sort of feed her kids and take care of each other, and stayed faithful to the Lord. And God just blessed her over the years. She ended up working in a real estate office. And she started watching things, learning things, and she became a realtor. And now she's a real estate agent on the island. And he said, in this conference, her commitment for this coming year was $1,000 a month. Now, I tell you that to say this. Her mind was set on it. She saw it. She got a hold of it. She agreed with God about it. She had a willingness to do what God wanted her to do. And that's where it all begins. We have to let God give us a dream, a picture of what he wants us to do. Let me give you a second thought here. Not only did he talk to them about a readiness to do it, but he told them you need to perform what you've committed to do. Notice what he said here. Look with me in verse 11 again. He says, now therefore, perform the doing of it. Perform the doing of it. It was not just doing it, but accomplishing it, completing this. That's what he's saying. You need to perform what you've committed yourself to do. Just let God tell you, and then make the commitment, and then perform the doing of it. And that's what our mindset will do. If we agree with God about it, He can set it for us. He can answer the questions for us. He can get rid of the concerns about it. If we just have a desire to perform what He wants us to do, and it all has a beginning. The beginning is that commitment, just stepping out, making the commitment God wants us to make, and beginning the journey with Him. And once we make the commitment, then taking the journey and letting him use us to do it. Now think about it. We make commitments to do things. We make commitments to make purchases for things that we need for life. There are things that we pretty well have to have to exist. You have to have a car. You make a commitment to buy that car. You have to have a place to live. You make a commitment to purchase that house or rent that house or whatever. But there are commitments that are long term, and those commitments lead us to the journey. And there's a payment, and when that payment's due, you pay it. If you don't pay it, you're in trouble. And so what I'm saying is we make commitments for things that we need and things that we desire to do. And yet often there are people say, well, you know, I don't know if I can commit myself to this giving every week or every month to missions for a whole year. And yet we buy a car and finance it for 10 years now, right? And commit ourselves to that payment every week, every month. And we if we don't have the right thinking about it, if we don't have the right mindset about it, we'll come to a place that we trust our own judgment or trust people instead of God. And God is saying, listen, just make the commitment to me and we'll do it together. We'll perform this thing together. And we've got to trust Him to do that. So that's what He's telling them here. Just perform it. You made the commitment. Now just do it. Just do it. God will do it through you if you'll just do it. Just let Him have His way. I got a call from a young man. I had preached missions conferences for his father down in North Carolina. And this young man had taken a church in over in Virginia, down near Staunton, Virginia, in that area. And he called me and told me he had taken this church and said they have a missions program, but he said they haven't had a conference in a few years, and it's sort of stagnant. He said, I just need to stir this thing up. I need to revive this thing. He said, would you come down? So I went down and preached a missions conference for him, and God blessed. Just had a great conference, and the people rallied and responded and made the commitments, and he was tickled to death with it. And so I left. A couple of months later, June and I were traveling through that area, and so I called him and told him we were coming through. I said, why don't you and your wife meet us and Cracker Barrel, and let's have lunch together. And so they did. And so he said, let me tell you about this one family. He said, this fellow shared with me after the conference was over, he said he was sitting there during the conference and God began working in his life, speaking to him about commitment he wanted him to make. And he said, I knew God was telling me that's what he wants me to give. And I knew it. But he said, I was going through some dental work. Major dental work was going to cost me a bundle of money, he said. And I'd already gone through most of it. And the Monday after the conference, I had to go back for that final finishing work and pay the final payment. And I knew what I was going to have to pay. And he said, I could not see how I could make the commitment God wanted me to make and make that final payment. And so I wrestled with that thing. And finally, Sunday, he said, my wife and I finally decided, we're going to do what God wants us to do. We're just going to make the commitment he wants us to make. And he said, we did. We made the commitment he wanted. So he said, Monday, I went to the dentist and got in that dentist chair, and he looked at my mouth, got ready to finish the work. And he said, wait just a second. He said, I've got a friend of mine visiting from out of the area. And he said, let me have him take a look at you and just see what he thinks about pulling this all together. And he said, his friend came in, looked at my mouth, and he said, you know, I've just been dealing with this same situation over where I live. And he said, we did this and this and this. And he said, they did it a different way than they had planned. And it was much less than it would that originally was going to cost me. And he said, I went in to pay that final bill. And he said, the difference in what I was supposed to pay and what they charged me was exactly what our commitment was on Sunday. God wants to do that. God wants us to make the commitment, perform the doing of it, so he can prove himself. And so we can look back and say, look what God did. So he wants us to have a willing mind. He wants us to perform what he puts on our hearts and on our minds. And then lastly, he says, but do it out of that which you have. Do it out of that which you have. And I think this is an important thing to get a hold of and understand. Look at what he says in verse 11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance. Now look at this. Also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man what? According to the man hath. You ought to circle it. And not according to that he hath not. God does not want us to do something that he has not equipped us to do. God equips us for his will. God provides for his will. This is not just an emotional thing. It is emotional, but it's emotion based on knowledge, based on understanding, based on what God shows us and makes evident to us. God is not asking us to do something that he does not provide for, equip us for, and show us how that he's going to do it. Now, I'm not saying we can see the whole thing for the coming year, but he says, give out of what I have provided for you to give. Now, what's the thinking on that? God has a plan for you and me, and he equips us for that plan. Do you ever notice how God provides for different people different ways? He provides for different people different ways. Now, I know sometimes that people do not have what they're supposed to have because they misuse what they have. But beyond that, God provides for different people different ways. I mean, He provides for people that handle things right. Sometimes He provides less than He might provide for somebody else that handles things in a good way. Now, why is that? Because God provides for us to carry out the plan that He has for us. God has a plan for your life or my life, and He provides for that plan. He's not going to ask us to do something that He has not equipped us to do. And so He's saying, you look at what you have. Look at what you have. I have provided what you have. Are you willing to handle what I've provided the way I want you to handle it? Are you willing to use what I've given you for the way? Now, this is how I see it. I believe God has the house He wants us to live in. Huh? I really believe that. And if He has the house He wants us to live in, then He's going to provide the cost for that house. Now, if we buy more than He wants us to have and misuse that, then we're going to be in trouble. But if we're willing to look at where God wants us to live, then He'll provide exactly what it costs for that. I believe God has the house He wants us to live in because He wants to locate us. He doesn't want Faith Independent Baptist Church living in a communal situation. Everybody together living in the same place and all of that. He wants to spread us out to be an influence in different places on different people working different places so we can reach different people. He has a plan. I believe God has the automobile He wants us to drive. And He provides for that. What I'm getting to is this. God already knows what He wants each of us to give to commit to missions. He knows that. And He's provided that. Now our responsibility is to take a look at what we have and say, okay, God, what part of what I have do You want me to give to missions? And be willing to listen to Him. We're a things-oriented society, aren't we? Get things that we want. We need to take a look and be willing to get things we need and not just what we want. We have so much stuff. Hey, listen, if you don't think you have a bunch of stuff, go home and take a look in your garage where you used to be able to park your car. Huh? More stuff than we can shake a stick at, right? Take a look in your closet. That's why you need another. That's why you want another closet, right? If I had another closet, all of us have our closet stuff, and we have stuff. Hey, listen, we've got stuff that we haven't worn for how long? Take a look in your closet at those things that you're going to get back into one of these days. They've been hanging there for 17 years, but one of these days I'm going to get back in those. I'm going to keep them. Hey, we got more stuff that we don't even need, but we hang on to. Why? Because we like our things. God says, listen, I have provided what you have, and I want you to give out of what you have because I put in what you have what I want you to give. He doesn't ask us to give something we don't have. Are we willing to listen to God and let Him show us exactly what He's given us to give for missions? That's what He's saying here. Give out of what you have, not out of what you don't have. Now it all goes back to that one thought. Does God have a right to tell us what to do with what we have? Yes, He does. Because what we have belongs to Him. We're just managing it for Him until we're with Him again. Amen? Let's pray. Father, help us to be willing just to have the right thinking, about all the things, all that You've blessed us with. We are a blessed people. Help us to realize that You're the one that's blessed us. And everything good that we have is because of Your provision, Your presence. I pray that You would help us to be willing to let You guide us in this matter of missions, in Christ's name.
Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And piano's going to play. If God spoke to your heart, you want to get alone with Him, you come. Even a love offering. If you weren't able to give in the first one or weren't prepared, we'll have another one. And so let's give as the Lord directs. Father, bless the gift and the giver according to Thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Dad, for coming up, spending time with us. He has that Sunday school class on Sunday morning. He doesn't like to leave that Sunday school class. What are you studying? Are you still in Romans with them?
No.
Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes, huh? Past the Beatitudes. So, but good to have him with us. Let's be praying. And, you know, we just need to, and I wanted him to spend time in those scriptures because we have some things we want God to do through us. And we've asked God to do these things through us, and we're going to take our commitments the next couple weeks and so forth. And so, Make sure you pray personally. Spend time with God and settle on that. We want to double the missionary support, take on some missionaries, have the projects, and be able to do projects, be able to take some things and get our missions budget in a place that God's able to use it. And then 6 months down the road, have a missionary weekend, and if we can increase it or have new people and take on new missionaries, we will. But the investment, the return on the investment is wonderful. To be able to see souls saved is real. Mom, what were you going to share? Yeah, pray for Steve Sidler. Well, amen. Good to see everybody, especially Abigail. I'm so happy when Abigail comes to church, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Let's stand to be dismissed in prayer. Good to see everybody. Is there food back out there? Is there food? If you folks go out and take that stuff with you, we've got to reload and take it with you. We don't want it to crawl off. Amen. And appreciate you ladies making the sandwiches and everybody being a part of what's going on. So let's pray for that. And be careful out there. The virus is still out there, and let's continue to take the precautions in a responsible way. Amen. And let's do that. Brother Kim, close for us, would you?
Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Creek's wife came up here this morning to challenge us, Lord, on our giving. And we thank you for the Word of God, Lord. We thank you for grace. We thank you for the grace of God. We thank you for how you reminded us how you use that grace, Lord, and you can use that grace for our giving, Lord. I just pray that you will help us, Lord, to truly submit ourselves unto you and see what you would have us to give. And remember that all that we do, all that we have is yours, and all that we do should be for the glory of God. And we just thank you and pray that you will be with us today and give us the same trip home, Lord, and bless our week. And help us to get back here again to worship you, Lord. We just thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you.